saved today in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we would correctly confess, well, of course, I do trust the Lord. And I have no doubt that that is correct. But I have found over the years that regarding the things of God, there's always degrees. If I had read this scripture 40 years ago, I would have just as today said, of course, well, I trust the Lord. But after 40 years of experience, I realized that how you trust the Lord and the degree to which you trust the Lord, it matters. It matters. And so this morning from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, I'm going to try to open up this fifth chapter. And I want to try to explain five different principles from this verse as it regards our trust for the Lord. Number one is the demand of trust. The demand of trust. Number two, I want to speak on the degree of trust that we should have. Number three, the purity. The purity of trust. Number four, the scope of trust. And then finally, number five, the benefits of trusting in the Lord. So let's just read it and pray, and we'll jump right into it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." The first principle I want to share with you is the demand of trust. God demands that his people trust him. And as I said, when we first come to Jesus Christ, there's an element of trust there, but that trust should progressively be growing as we are sanctified. As we have more and more experiences with God, we should evidence more and more trust in him. Now, this word trust, it just means this, to have a firm belief in his integrity. And of course, that would include his word. To have a firm belief in the integrity of God and the ability of his character and his person. It means that we're not just blindly saying, well, I trust God, but we are pinpointing, I trust his character, I trust his word, and I trust his ability. See, trusting in God is not just something that we say. It's something that we live every moment of our life, in every situation. And that's a demand. It's a demand from God that we evidence trust in him. And you could say it this way, faith in him is basically the same thing, but to simply trust the Lord. Now, if there were no other obstacles, that would be easy. But there are other obstacles. We live in a dark, dead, dying, ungodly world that tells us too often there is no God. It's just evolution. That you're wrong if you pray. Don't bring your Bible to school or to the workplace, or don't be praying in public. That's what society tells us, and it makes it even more difficult for us to constantly evidence trust in the Lord. But he tells us that we are to trust in the Lord. This is the demand of trust. And when we look all the way back to the father of faith, we see Abraham. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the integrity of God's word. God told Abraham, your seed is going to be like the stars of the sky and like the sands of the sea. And Abraham, when he told him this, he hadn't even had a baby. Him and Sarah had not even had a child. And he walked with that promise for 25 years, not having a baby, God telling him, you're going to have a son. And for 25 years, he had no son. By this time, Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90. And she wasn't having babies when she was 18. But the Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith. He believed God, even though all the evidence, in fact, the scripture says that he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't look at the deadness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He looked at the integrity of God's word. This is a requirement for all Christians. And when you think that you're trusting God strong, just begin to start thinking about the resurrection of life. Start thinking about the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Start thinking about the incorruptible body, and it challenges your trust. It challenges whether or not you really have confidence in the integrity of his word. But the first thing is, God demands that we trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the degree to which we have to trust him. With all thine heart. It means that there's no reservation for unbelief, but we hold on to him in every situation. If you'll notice, when you read the Gospels, Jesus was sometimes, he would test the disciples. He would try them, and you and I are his disciples, and he'll try you and I, not so he knows where we're at, so we can figure out where we're at. Jesus had told the disciples, go to the other side, get in the boat and go to the other side. And they jumped in, they're trusting the Lord. But in the middle of the lake, they ran into a storm. And that storm began to test the level of trust that they had. And they're rowing and they're working, trying to get to the shore. And I think it was in the third watch of the night, Jesus came walking unto them on the water. And they were afraid and they cried out. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, you would think maybe it could have been John or Matthew, but it was Peter. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come walk with thee on the water. And Jesus said, come on out here then. Come on, sometimes he'll tell you and I, come on out here. Step out on your faith. And Peter disregarded the ship. The storm that had him afraid, he disregarded it. He moved away from the community of disciples that was with him. And all by himself, he did the impossible. He stepped down out of the ship, fully trusting God. And the Bible says he walked on the water. To go to Jesus, he's walking in a place of impossibility. But listen, just because you make it to a place of trust, you have to continue to exert that same trust, because the Bible said that Peter looked at the waves and raging. He took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the circumstance around him, and the trust began to be challenged, and the Bible said he began to sink. Now, the good thing about this is that Peter walked on the water, but he realized that's not enough. See, for us to have a victory on Tuesday, that doesn't help us on Wednesday. We got to continue to evidence faith and trust in the Lord. So there's degrees of trust that we have to have. And listen, the test, when the test comes, that's what really challenges our trust. Job was a godly man. But when all of his babies died, when his health began to degrade and he had boils all over his body, and even his wife, she said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job had lost everything. But he looked up to heaven and said, Lord, though you slay me, I'm not taking it back. I'm not changing my mind. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. So when the trial comes, realize it's coming to challenge your trust. So that's the demand of faith and the degree of faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And there's something else we have to do. This is very difficult. Lean not to your own understanding. That's the hard part. That means God don't need you to understand it. He don't need your logic. He don't need your reason. He don't need your experience. Because those things simply get in our way from trusting God. See, God is he's a supernatural God. He calls those things which be not as though they are. But many times our reasoning, and here's what I found, the more intelligent the person is, the more difficult it is to trust God. The more intellectual that we are, I say that we are as though I'm an intellectual. the more intellectual that we are, the more difficult it is for us to get out of our logic and out of our reasoning and simply walk by our faith and our trust in God. We walk by faith, not by logic. We don't walk by reasoning. And so he says that it's not just that you trust in him with all of your heart, but that at the same time, you don't lean to your own understanding. And so to turn off, you know, when you're a smart person, you control the life around you by your intellect. You scull it out. You think it out and you figure it out and you plot away. But sometimes God don't need that. He just needs you to trust him. If Peter had used all his logic, he'd have been like the other disciples. He would not have got out the boat. What do you mean, walk with you on the water? That don't even make sense. It's been nowhere in history has anybody been recorded walking on water. And so it doesn't make sense that I would do that now. And so logic can get in the way of God taking us to places that he wants to take us to. So when you lean not to your own understanding, it means that you deny your own reasoning, you deny your own logic. All of your experiences, they may be good in other spectrums of life, but when it comes to trusting God, he doesn't need that because his resources and his power go so far beyond anything that we can know. His powers are infinite. He can do it many, many different ways. When he asked the disciples one time, 5,000 people following him with the women and children, and he said, how are these folks going to eat? They walked out here with us 3 days. Where are they going to get something to eat? And the disciples went, they relied right on their reason. Well, 200 penny worth of is not enough to buy bread for all of these people. They immediately went to their reason. And Jesus had to perform the miracle to show them that if he's here, he is your provision. Another time he fed, I think it was 4,000. And the same thing, they went right back to their reason. And Jesus, after he fed the people, he said, how is it you don't understand? That when there was 4,000, I think there were 7 baskets full. When there was 5,000, there was 12 baskets full of fragments left over. He said, how do you not understand that the bigger the need, the bigger the provision? God's got 7 billion people on this planet. And there's enough food here for all of us. We're just too greedy to distribute it fairly. Because it costs money. And we'd rather have iPhones. Ooh. So that is the degree of trust. I'm sorry, that's the purity of trust that we lean not to our own understanding, just pure trust in him. I had a job years ago. I was a programmer in corporate America, and I had went and got a different job for a substantial increase. It was like a 15% increase in salary. And so I finally gave my resignation. And the HR manager called me into his office and said, Lincoln, hey, you know, we really like you. You do really good work, and we need you here. You're an important part of the team. And he said, just tell us what it's going to take to keep you here. We can beat that offer. He basically put a blank check in front of me. Tell me what you want. We'll sign off on it. And I didn't know what to do. I leaned back in the chair, and in 1 second, right there on the spot, God told me, don't take it. Don't do it. You need to go ahead and leave. And so I responded. There's a blank check in front of me. Write the number in you want. But I just told him, no, I can't. I've made up my mind. I'm going to take the other offer, which ultimately I did. 6 months later, that job started laying off people. They knew it then. They was just trying to keep me. They like to control the layoffs. But because God spoke it into my heart and because I just simply trusted in him, he's able to make the crooked way straight. He's able to help you. But if you're using your reasoning, you're in God's way. You ever been trying to help somebody and they won't get out your way? You know, you're on the computer and you're trying to work the mouse and they're leaning in on you and you're doing the mouse like this. Like, get out the way, brother. Sometimes that's how God wants to do it. Get out of the way. Lay aside your own reasoning. Now, being smart, having good experience, that's good in many spectrums of life, but not when it comes to faith. Because how can he take you any higher than what you've already experienced if your experience is the filter, if that's the constraint? And he can never take you higher. He's got to move you outside of yourself to take you to a place that you've never been. Lean not to thine own understanding. And here's the scope of trust. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. You know, we like to pick and choose where we're going to trust God. We like to trust him for our blessings, but not for our diets. Yeah? We like to trust him for our income, but we don't like to trust him for our outflow. But he's saying, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That just simply means that before you just do it based on logic and experience, just acknowledge the Lord. That's what I did at the job I was just telling you about. When that check was put in front of me, I leaned back and I just opened up my heart to God, and he spoke right in the moment, don't take it. Acknowledge the Lord. In all your ways, in every decision, just keep your heart open so that God, listen to him. Sometimes he won't say anything. If he says nothing, then you have to make the best decision you can. And if you're making a really big decision, I'm going to give you this free. Really big decision, you're praying, you're asking God, what do I do? How do I do it? And you're not hearing anything from God. Has anybody that ever happened to you? He's not talking. Then what you do is say, God, I've prayed about this. I've been asking you to help me. I haven't heard from you. So, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm thinking that I'm going to go this way. And if you don't like that, if that's not your will, stop it. That way you've covered all your bases to acknowledge him. And sometimes you will. You'll try to go that way and God will shut that door. Now that lets you know, oh. But what you don't want to do is be headstrong and just say, this is what I want. Because if it's about what you want, then don't bother acknowledging him. Because when you're acknowledging him, you're saying, God, what do you want for my life? In all thy ways. In our marriages, in our finances, in our job selections, in all your ways, you acknowledge him. Another quick story, when I got saved, and I'm a young Christian, I hadn't even been saved 3 weeks. I'm about to get married to an old girl that I had been shacking with, and I got saved and said, well, we need to tie this down. We need to, you know, do what's right. She wasn't saved. I was. And God spoke to me and said, no, I don't want you to marry her. I want you to marry your ex-wife you divorced 6 or 7 years ago. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Whether you like it or not, you have to acknowledge him and then look for him for strength to move you in the direction that he wants you to move, which I did. That's my wife now. She's my second wife and my first wife. But we acknowledge him. You know, many times we go into prayer and we're so busy talking, we don't spend any time listening. And sometimes it's good to pray. It's good to unburden your heart. But sometimes just sit silent in his presence and don't let your mind wander. Don't let your mind wander on the day. Just sit there with your mind on him, meditating on the scriptures, meditating on if he's already spoken, meditating on what he said. And just sit there in his silence, because God, he's not going to scream over your music. He's not going to scream over the earbuds that are in your ears. He doesn't have to. He's God. When he speaks, it's a still, small voice. And when you hear that, you have to begin to press in whatever that he tells you, press in on that. Maybe he'll give you more explanation, maybe not. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. There's a story in the Bible with David. Him and his men, they went out to pursue. And they came back to their town of Ziklag, and it had been burned down. They had burnt it up, the enemy. I think it was the Amalekites. They had burned it up, and they stole all the women and the children and took them away. And David comes back with his men. Their hearts are broken. They're weeping and they're crying. And the men are so angry, they're thinking, listen, we're going to stone David. He's the one who led us out. And now all our stuff is gone, our women, our families. And I mean, David was isolated. But instead of just reacting, okay, come on, we're going to go get him. Let's go get him. The Bible said he put on his ephod and he inquired of the Lord. And he asked the Lord, what do I do? You know, that's a good prayer. God, what do I do? I know we can always extrapolate something in our own minds, but to just take time to say, God, what do you want? What is your direction for me in this situation? And God told him, go ahead and pursue. And because he acknowledged the Lord, when he went after him, they got all the women back, all the children back, and won the battle. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And here's the reward when you do that. Here's the reward. And then he shall direct thy paths. Then he'll show you which way to walk. He'll give you direction on which way to navigate and move through a certain situation. In fact, through your whole life. But when you're not acknowledging him, or when you lean into your own understanding, you're just in the way. He's trying to lead you. We showed a film a few weeks ago of a sheep. The sheep had fell into a trench. And the farmer came and pulled the sheep out of the trench and set him on the bank. And the sheep ran right down the side of the trench and jumped back into it. That's how you and I are when we don't acknowledge him, or when we lean into our own understanding and he can't direct us because, well, we act like we're smarter than God. It's a tendency all of us have. I have it the same as you have it. But this scripture tells us this is how you trust God. So that when you do this, it says he shall direct thy paths. Meaning that you will have the high road and not the low road. You'll be walking by still waters. You'll be by green pastures all the way because the great shepherd is leading. So when your life, all of a sudden, it takes a downturn, things begin to get rough. Marriage kind of turns upside down. It can happen. Career seems to falter out. Things are not looking going in the way you would desire them to go. You have to consider, am I trusting in the Lord correctly? Am I trusting him correctly? Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you so much this morning. We thank you for the engrafted word that is able to save our very souls. We come to you now, Lord, thanking you that you've given us this instruction that we are to trust in you with all of our hearts, never leaning to our own understanding, and always acknowledging you in all of our ways. The greatest privilege a man could have, Lord, is for you to direct our paths, for you to open the doors that we are to walk through and close the doors that we are not to walk through. Father, we come to you this morning. Come on, all over the room. Would you stand to your feet with me if you're able? If you're able. And just begin to reach out and ask the Lord to help you. God, I don't want my experience, I don't want my logic, my reasoning to get in the way. I want to be directed by the hand of God. I want every aspect of my life to be under the control of the great I am. Teach me now, Lord. I've come to this place with the degree that I've trusted you to this place, but take me now to a deeper place. Lord, let me walk on the water with you. Oh, God, help me to reach out in my trust, to grow in my trust for you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that you help us to truly trust you. Not just trust you in word, but in deed, in action, and in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Help us to truly know that you can be trusted. Because most times the reason that we don't trust is because of us. We don't see you rightly. So help us to see you rightly, that you do have what is best for us, that you do love us, that you do have a plan for us. And help us to know that even if we have trusted you, that there's more that we can trust you with. Help us to simply just surrender to you, Lord Jesus. All this we ask and pray in the mighty name of Christ we pray. Amen. 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 That was a good word. It is always, always a great reminder to trust God, because sometimes we truly can't lean on what we know and who we know, but we know the great I am, so we can trust him. Amen. All right, real quick, we're going to go ahead and worship and give. So if you haven't given, as you guys know, there are several ways to give. And for those that are online, please feel free to give as well, because you are a part of what we're doing here. And on September 7th, that's next Sunday, right? There's a baptism service during the second service. So if you are on that list, you should have got an email from me. If you haven't, just come in, find me, and we'll figure out something. With that being said, you are dismissed. Thank you for being here, and have a blessed Sunday. Amen.